Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is April 23rd, 2015. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just really don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. And, of course, you can always email me from the website, and send me your phone number and all those kind of things, and that works also, and I'll call you from there. Anyway, the phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. You can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address all at our blog, which is prophecyhour.com, which you ought to put the www in front of it. But if you go prophecyhour.com, side bets, if you Google it, it's going to come up for sure. Anyway, and remember, we are a national satellite radio program, airtime costs, so please pray about supporting airtime. Excuse me. Our program archives can be found at prophecyhour.com and branch.podomatic.com. Both are very smartphone friendly. In fact, at branch.podomatic.com, they have an Apple app and an Android app, and so you can go over there and get those things. I'm working on making an app for prophecyhour.com. I haven't had very good luck with it. I've tried two or three of those app applications. So if you know one of the free ones that work real good, send it to me. Or maybe you might want to make one for me. That's a good idea. So send me your information. Send me an email on it or call me. Anyway, and I pray that you folks will continue to challenge other people to listen to our program. Share it with at least two or three other people. Okay. Now a prayer will bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I need you to take over radio tonight because, you know, Father, I don't know how to do radio. Neither does our guest. Nobody knows how to do anything except for you perfectly. So, Father, I ask for you to take control of this radio program tonight. Give the people what they want to hear and not what we think that will... not what will glorify us, but that will glorify you, Father. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father, bless this program tonight in Yeshua HaMashiach's name. Amen and amen. Well, tonight we're very glad to have back on with us Michael Snyder. He has a blog by the name of The Economic Collapse. He is also the author of the book, The Beginning of the End. Recently, he just made two DVDs. One is called The Regathering of the Ten Lost Tribes and The Economic Collapse, World War II and the Death of America. I can't wait to see both of them. You folks guess which one I'd rather see first, because I'm not going to tell you. Anyway, shortly ago, he wrote these, and I got these words of his. He says, I believe the greatest move of God and the greatest harvest of souls that the world has ever seen are coming. But this coming move of God is going to look very different from the way that we play church today. Their era of the Christian superstar is ending, and God is going to restore things to the way they looked during the early church. In the next move of God, we aren't going to put up Christian superstars on a pedestal and rely on them to do all the ministering. Instead, it is the people that are going to be doing the ministering, and the one that is going to get put up on a pedestal is Jesus Christ, and I say Yeshua Messiah. Yes, folks, that's the way that I believe. And I, at this point, though, before I bring him on, I want to encourage you, if you have some dreams and visions of the time of the end, please send them to me, and I'll either read them on the radio program, or maybe you might want to come on and read them yourself. Because I believe that the Father speaks to all. I don't believe that he just speaks to these superstars, but pray about it. Anyway, get a hold of me. Anyway, we'll use this thing to break the ice with Michael. And so I guess all I have to say now is welcome back, Michael. Are you there with me?
I'm here, Pastor Dan. It's a real privilege to be back on with you.
Well, I'm really glad to have you back. And I can't get over your blog. There's article after article after article of useful information for the people. And you're just completely on top of everything, you know. How did that come about anyway?
Well, Pastor Dan, back in 2009, I was just working as an attorney, actually, right in the heart of Washington, D.C., right down on K Street. I was really becoming concerned about the direction of our country. I was becoming concerned about the corruption and the decay and everything. And I thought, well, what in the world can I do? I'm just an average guy that gets up in the morning, puts on his pants, and goes to work. How in the world can I make a difference? Well, I heard about this blogging. And, you know, people were going on the Internet, and they were writing, and I thought, well, let me give that a try. And so I started to do that, and at first very, very, very few people took notice, but I stuck with it, and over time the audience grew. And today the economiccollapseblog.com alone gets more than a million page views each month. And so God has opened up the door for me to have this massive audience of people, and primarily secular people, that I can, and I talk about economics and a lot of other things, but now I believe that the Lord is having me transition even more into the addressing spiritual issues. And in particular, something that's been on my heart is what you just read about how the era of the Christian superstar is ending. What have we done for decades in the church? For decades, we've put these men and women up on pedestals, and we've worshiped them, and we've said, okay, you do all the ministering. We'll send you our money. You do all the ministering for us, and everybody will be happy. And so they've built their mega churches. They've written books and published millions of books and gotten rich off their books. They fly across the country in their private jets. So when they go, they're not alone. Of course, you know, many of these Christian superstars, they travel with a small army of bodyguards and assistants, and so you can't even ever get close to them. You can't ever have a conversation with them because one of their handlers will deal with you for them. And so we've put these guys out there, and they're constantly on television, they're constantly on the radio, And we've exalted them. We've lifted them up. But now what are we starting to see? We're starting to see a lot of them fall. We're starting to see some of these mega churches go bankrupt and actually sell off their church buildings. We're starting to see a transition, not that God has stopped moving, but what God is doing is he's doing something a lot more real and a lot more authentic. We're seeing the rise of home churches and home fellowships where people are meeting in private homes and really seeking after God and seeking something that's a lot more real than the mega churches ever were. We're seeing just ordinary people being used by God in extraordinary ways. Like you said, you want to hear what God is doing in the hearts of people, because God just doesn't use Christian superstars. He uses ordinary people, people like you and people like me. And that's one of the reasons why, this is so on my heart, because I never went to seminary. You know, my formal education is in business and then later in law. I have a law degree. God is waking up his people all over the world, and he's making us realize that what we're doing in the church today, it doesn't look like the book of Acts. It doesn't look like the first century. And so we're starting to see this organic movement, this revival, as the denominational and mainstream churches, the mega churches, as they're in decay, their attendance is declining, they're falling apart. But what we're seeing is that God is moving in a powerful way, but he's doing it not through an organization. There's no single person in charge of it, but all over the world, he's raising up his remnant. And this remnant is going to look a whole lot like the early believers of the first century.
Amen. Let me break in with a comment here. First off, just for the record, and this is to the folks, folks, that Messiah's branch is basically a home church with a building. While we've been in church for a very long time and we have congregation members, our congregation is not very big. We are like a home church with a building. The reason that we have a building is because the Father uses us to care for his people. And so that makes it a mission church. And so, absolutely. And I've seen it. There's a lot of messianic groups that are popping up, or some call them Hebrew roots and some call them messianic. But there's a lot of them that there's people that are coming out of the church, and, you know, because they're just tired of all the, you know, rhetoric and all the things that the church is letting in. And so they're coming out, and there is a great big home church movement, which is turning into smaller congregations. Back to you, Michael.
Absolutely. And I grew up actually in mainstream evangelical Christianity. My parents are still Baptist to this day, and we went to a Baptist church, and every Sunday morning I was in church, every Sunday night I was in church, sometimes on Wednesdays. And then there was Bible studies in the middle of the week. And so that's how I grew up. Then I went off to college, and I got involved in some great mainstream evangelical organizations, some wonderful ones that I support even to this day. But as I left college, I started to realize, you know, what I'm experiencing, it doesn't look like the book of Acts. There's more here. I know there's more. So I kind of left the mainstream evangelical churches, and I went on and I got involved in the charismatic movement, and I started learning about tongues, and I started learning about signs and wonders and miracles and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and a lot of wonderful things that I learned that I didn't know about before. But then I started to see, wow, there's a lot of problems here which are even bigger than what I left before. And so my spirit, my heart, I learned some new things, but I knew, wow, there's something else. There's still missing pieces to the puzzle here. And so after that, my wife and I, we got involved in the Hebrew roots, or the Messianic movement, whatever you want to call it. We started to learn about keeping the Sabbath and the biblical festivals and the wonderful things of God's law, and how Yeshua actually commanded us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 19, to keep it, to keep those things. And so that was a whole new world for us, and we enjoyed that so much. But then in the Messianic movement, and I'm part of it, so I can say this, the Messianic movement in America today is a mess. There's false teachers and false prophets and people doing all kinds of crazy things. And then a lot of people in the Messianic movement, they don't want anything to do with the supernatural, signs, wonders, miracles, gifts of the Spirit. They get so into the Torah that they just totally want nothing to do with the Spirit. And then they say, oh, we're so into the Torah, we don't even want to bother with leading people to Messiah, winning people to the Lord Jesus Christ, seeing people get saved. And so there's all kinds of distortions, and so I was kind of discouraged about that. Well, a while back, the Lord was really dealing with me, and what he dumped into my bucket was that, you know what, all of these movements have part of the truth, have part of the picture. You know, whether it's mainstream evangelicals winning people to Christ, you know, to the charismatics, the power of the Holy Spirit, or the messianic, keeping the things of the Torah and the Sabbath and the festivals. Well, what the Lord showed me is that the church of the first century combined all of these things. And in this last days move of God, we're going to see all of these things restored. We're going to see all of the pieces brought together. And the remnant of the last days is going to look like, and we know that it's going to exist because it's in the book of Revelation. We talked about this on your program before. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, it says the remnant of the last days are those that keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So we're going to keep the commandments of God. just like the apostles of the first century did. We're going to preach the gospel, and I believe see the greatest harvest of souls in the history of the world before Yeshua returns in this generation. And in order for that to happen, we've got to move in the power of the Holy Spirit, just like the original apostles did.
Yeah, amen. Couple of comments. You know, I absolutely agree with you about what you say with the Messianic movement, but it isn't really, in a sense, it's more, I see that problem more in what they call, and believe me, there is a difference. There's a many Messianic Judaism, which has been around since the time of Christ. That's who, you know, the Jews got saved. They became Messianic. Okay. And so most of those have Jewish people in them. And a lot of those, most of the ones I've seen do, in fact, you know, believe in what you were talking about, you know, and that's how we believe. We believe in all the gifts of the Spirit. We believe in the fivefold ministry. We believe keeping the Torah, so on and so forth. We believe in miracles, all of those things. But then you had these people that came out in the Hebrew Roots movement, and some of them split off from the Messianic movement, so to speak. But they weren't people that were really, and I'm not picking on anybody, but people that weren't just really completely qualified, you know what I'm saying, to be leaders. And they focused on just one part, like all the Torah. And then, you know, you go to the place and you'd never hear anything from the new covenant or the renewed covenant. You'd never hear anything from that. And so on and so forth. So you're right. They've got part of it, but they're just not all together yet. I believe that there's going to be either a leader or a movement that brings all that together. What do you think?
Well, I think that God is starting to gather his people. He's starting to bring things together. And don't get me wrong, there's many wonderful ministries out there that are doing the things the right way. Your ministry is one of them, Pastor Dan. I love Messiah's Branch, and I want the listeners to know that I've been a financial supporter of Messiah's Branch for a long time, and I love what you guys are doing. And there's these little ministries popping up all over the place, and it's not just in the United States. It's all over the world that are doing things the right way. So, yeah, you got some crazy people, some weird people doing different things, but we're seeing people that are rising up doing things the right way, just like the original apostles did. We're kind of scattered all over the place right now, but God is starting to bring us together, draw us together, and there's some incredibly exciting things on the horizon, even though we're moving into a time of great darkness and great chaos, and everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And so that's why I made two DVDs coming up, because in the first DVD for the Prophecy Club that I did, I talk about all of these horrible things that are going to happen. Economic collapse, which people are used to hearing me talk about. And then, but beyond that, natural disasters, martial law, civil unrest, on and on and on. All these horrible things which men and women of God have prophesied are coming to this nation, the judgment of God, all leading up to World War III and the death of America. And that's a very hard message. It was a very hard message to deliver. It's a very hard message to hear. And you know, because I love this nation, and anyone who loves this nation would mourn at the things that are coming to this country because of our sin. But then the second DVD is the good news, and it talks about this remnant that's arising. It talks about how God, and the scripture after scripture after scripture, I'm someone who uses a lot of scripture. In the Word of God, there is an enormous amount of scripture that talks about how God will gather his remnant in the last days. He will gather them home to the land of Israel, and he will do things that are absolutely amazing, which will shock the world. So the second DVD was actually the most hope-filled message that I've ever delivered. I believe these two DVDs are the most important presentations that I've ever made in my life. One has a lot of the tough news and bad news about what's coming into this country. But then the second one is there are things to look forward to that most Christians, most believers have never even dreamed and never even heard of in their churches.
Yeah, amen. Let me go with this. First off, I'm going to give the folks the name of the DVDs. The first DVD, folks, is called The Economic Collapse, World War III, and the Death of America. And, of course, you can find that at his website, which we'll get from him here in a few minutes. The second one is called The Regathering of the 10 Lost Tribes. I strongly suggest that you get both of them. And no, I haven't had a chance to view them, but I know Michael and I know how he presents. So they got to be dynamite. Also, I have an inside note. I talked with Stan about them today. So I do know that what's in them, so to speak. But I definitely suggest that you should get them. Now, you know, Michael, what I see in, and we've only got a couple minutes before break, but you know, what I see in the so-called either Messianic or Hebrew Roots movement is what I see is that people are starting to recognize where Israel's place is. See, the replacement theology has crushed what the body of Messiah should be because of the replacement theology. I believe that now in this end time, we're starting to drift back and be pulled back to Israel, and we recognize who we are. And that's the key thing, is realizing just who it is we are. Okay, we got about 2 minutes before break. You can make a comment, and then I'll ask you for your website.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Pastor Dan. I'm someone that stands with the nation of Israel. I love the Jewish people. Unfortunately, for most of church history, the church has been very negative about Israel. In fact, for several centuries before 1948, the church, the mainstream church, the denominational church, was teaching that, no, the people of Israel will never be regathered to their land. There will never be an actual physical nation of Israel again. We should just take all that as allegory. We can't take those scriptures literally. This is what they were teaching in mainstream churches. They were saying, oh, those prophecies about Israel, just don't pay attention to those. Those can't be literal. It's impossible. It's preposterous. But it happened. 1948, God established the nation of Israel and brought the Jews, started bringing the Jewish people back to the land, just like he said he would, thousands of years in advance. Even though churches were saying it was not going to happen, the word of God is always true. And God loves Israel. God loves the Jewish people. He brought them back. And then the word of God said they're going to get back control of Jerusalem. That happened in 1967, just like the word of God said thousands of years in advance.
Amen. I'm going to cut it off right there. Give them your website, and we'll get out of here for a break.
Sure. My website is theeconomiccollapseblog.com, or if you just go to Google and put in the economic collapse, it's the first result that came up. And if you're interested in these DVDs, just click on the graphics that you find on every page of my website for these DVDs, and I'll take you right to where you can order them.
All right, amen, folks. I suggest you do just that. And while we're on live radio right now, you folks that are going to be listening later on podcast on your smartphones, there will be a link to his website with this program. But we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149. $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System. Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
We are back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. So why did so many people come to us for help? Why are we important? Well, love, that's the first answer. We treat people as family. We give them a relationship. Yes, we are a messianic ministry, and, you know, we are like a home church with a building. But you know what? We give them the relationships. They come there. They ask them for Bibles or ask them for miracles. We've even had police officers tell us that we are a legend because of all the things that we do, all the miracles that happen there. That's because we are led in the Spirit. So pray about it, folks. We really do need your help because, like I say, you know, we're just a family church ministry, and we, you know, we don't have a, that's what I was going to say. We're not a mega church. We don't have a huge congregation that pays for things. It's people like you that listen to the radio that make donations, and that's what allows us to survive. So pray about it. We have no set guidelines like programs. People say, call me all the time, well, what kind of program do you have? Well, how about the program is walking in the door and asking for what you need, and then we'll pray about it. And then if we have what you need, we're led to help. Then we fill that need. If we don't have a way to fill that need, we do what? We pray it in. This is why even agencies and all their employees tell the people about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when their guidelines stop them from helping, the people that work in those agencies send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We are very responsible to help each other because we are the last hope for each other. We are responsible. We are our brother's keepers. So, you know, folks, no matter what size donation, it helps. But the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find this information at prophecyhour.com. That's at prophecyhour.com. Or you can simply call me at 620-878-4682 if you need that kind of information. And so pray about it. And also, you folks out there that have websites, pray about asking us for a link to put on your website, because that would also help share get this radio program out. And if we get the more listeners that we get, then the more people that will get supporting the Father's work, more people getting saved, more people getting fed, more people getting fixed up we fix people up when they're beat up, bloody, they come wandering in. We help homeless and poor. We have people that come from all over the city asking for prayers that aren't homeless because they've heard of the miracles. So pray about it. Anyway, now we're back with Michael Snatter and from the Economic Collapse blog. Are you there with me, Michael?
I'm here, Pastor Dan.
Okay. Well, so what direction do you want to go in the second half, brother?
Well, let's pick up where we kind of left off talking right before the break. We were talking about how God had miraculously regathered the Jewish people to the land of Israel, just like he said in his word that he would do. But now for most Christian denominations, they consider, well, that's kind of where the story ends. The people of Judah have been regathered to the land, and that's the end of the story. But it's not the end of the story. There's actually more chapters to come. And in order to understand that, you kind of have to understand a little bit of history. You know, back in the times of Israel, if people remember, under King David and then his son King Solomon, there was the United Kingdom of Israel. All 12 tribes were united in a single nation, and it was the greatest superpower on the entire planet at that time. And all the world, you know, came to King David and then to King Solomon because they were kind of the hub, the center of everything at that time. But then after the days of King Solomon, his son came along, Rehoboam, and under him, the kingdom divided. It became a divided kingdom. 10 of the tribes went north under Jeroboam, and they became the northern kingdom, known in the scriptures as Israel, or by their dominant tribe in the north, Ephraim. They were in the north, and the south was Judah, Benjamin, and Levi. They're the southern kingdom known by the dominant tribe in the south, Judah. So Judah and Ephraim existed side by side for centuries. And then sometimes they were friendly, but most of the time they fought wars with each other. They're angry with each other. And so we actually read in the scriptures about these wars that Judah fought against Israel. In fact, one war alone, 500,000 people died in one of these wars. And it wasn't like the wars today where you shoot someone, bang, they're dead. It was hand-to-hand combat with swords and with spears, and so there were limbs and there were heads cut off. And if you just imagine a battlefield with 500,000 dead bodies laying around. I mean, these were brutal wars. And so the two kingdoms existed side by side for a couple centuries, and they both fell into sin, but the northern kingdom fell into sin first. Fell away from God, did horrible things, and then eventually God allowed the Assyrians to come in, invade them, and exile those remaining left in the land. And according to most churches, they're never to be heard from again. Of course, that's not true at all. That's not what the Word of God says, and we'll get to that in a moment. The southern kingdom continued for another century or so until eventually the Babylonians came, the next great superpower, conquered Judah, took them away. But then they came back under Cyrus, king of Persia, and the Persians. And there was that time away for about 70 years. But they came back to the land, and they were always under another power. But they lived in the land of Israel up through the time of Christ. And then in 70 AD, of course, the Romans came and flattened Jerusalem and scattered them all over the world. But the people of the southern kingdom never lost their identity. They always knew they were from Judah, that they were the Jewish people. And so wherever they went around the world, they remembered who they were. And now as they've regathered to the land, they remember their identity. But the people of the northern kingdom, the scriptures tell us that they would be mixed in among the peoples all over the world. And the book of Hosea tells us that they would be, after they left the land, that they would become a great multitude that no one can possibly count, like the sand of the sea. And so when we're looking for what happened to them, because they're known as the 10 lost tribes of Israel, everyone says they're lost. Well, in my presentation, I showed that they weren't actually lost. through history, we can trace their migrations. We can trace where they went. We can trace what they called themselves and where they traveled. And what has happened to them? It's exactly what the scriptures say. They've become an exceedingly vast multitude. They've become mixed in among the Gentiles all over the nations. But God promises in his word that in the last days, he will regather those lost tribes. He will regather the northern kingdom, and he will reunite them with the southern kingdom. Ephraim and Judah will be reunited. In Ezekiel chapter 37, it says they will be reunited in as one stick in the land. They will have one ruler over them, and they will never be divided again after that. And now that we've been waiting for 2,700 years for these prophecies to come to pass, or 2,500, depending on, you know, which ones we're talking about.
Right.
But we've been waiting for millennia for these prophecies to be fulfilled, but now we're coming to that time. And, you know, a lot of people, they try to make an end times theology out of a single verse. Well, what I'm talking about in terms of the northern kingdom of Israel, the entire book of Hosea was written to them, almost the entire book of Amos, and then chapter after chapter after chapter, and there's so much scripture that talks about this reunification. If people want to pull out their Bibles and look it up, just some of the scriptures you can look at include Jeremiah chapters 30 and 31, Isaiah chapter 11, Zechariah chapter 10, Ezekiel chapter 37, like I talked about, and on the DVD I go into a whole bunch more. Then in Jeremiah 23, it talks about this exodus that's coming that is going to be so great that we will not even talk about the first exodus anymore. It won't even come into our minds anymore because this next exodus is going to be so much greater, in which God is going to gather his people from wherever they've gone. And so I spend a great deal of time on the DVD tracing the history of the migrations of the Phoenician alliance, the northern kingdom of Israel, and the city-states of Tyre and Sidon. In fact, if you remember Queen Jezebel, she was from Sidon. She was from one of these Phoenician city-states, but the northern kingdom of Israel and these city-states were very, very closely aligned, and they were the great sea power of the ancient world, and they founded colonies all over the Mediterranean Sea and actually up the west coast of Europe in Spain and France and then Ireland and Scotland and England. And actually in the presentation I showed, there's evidence they made it to North America. But all these colonies all over the world, and the most famous of their colonies was called Carthage. And the great Carthaginian Empire, Carthage was actually an Israelite city. In Hebrew, the name meant the new city. That was what Carthage, that name is from the Romans, actually, but the name of the city itself was a Hebrew name for the new city. So the Carthage was this giant city and empire that by itself traveled the world and explored all over the known world. But that was it was an Israelite empire, along with the people Tyre and Sidon and so forth. And so I talk about that, all these migrations by sea. Then I talk about the migrations over land when the Assyrians started to come in and put pressure on the northern kingdom of Israel. Tremendous amount of people migrated north, and they became known as the Scythians. They became known as the Cimmerians or the Cimmerians, however you prefer to pronounce that, and by a bunch of other names.
Right.
They migrated up north into southern Russia, and from there they started migrating to the west into Europe. In fact, Scandinavia, most people have never heard this, but the original name of Scandinavia was Scathanavia, after the Scythians, after the Israelites mixed in with other peoples, of course, migrated up into that area and settled it. And so I talk about that. I also talk about the great Parthian Empire that emerged, very closely related to the Scythians. But at the time of the Roman Empire, at the time of Christ, the other great superpower in the world was the Parthian Empire. And actually, it was the Parthians that sent a representative to visit the infant Christ, when our Messiah was born. We read in the story, when he was born, there were wise men or magi from the east. Well, magi, those were actually Parthian officials. They were coming, and they were actually coming because the bloodline of the kings and the emperors that ruled the Parthian Empire were related to King David's bloodline. So they're coming to visit Yeshua as a young child because they had heard that someone who could possibly take the throne of the Parthian Empire had been born. And they wanted to investigate this because the at that time in Parthia, this great superpower, this great empire that stretched from the Euphrates River all the way to India, the ruler of that empire always came from a certain bloodline. And it wasn't always the firstborn son. It could be anybody that had that bloodline, which was actually related to King David. And I talk about all this in my presentation. So that's why they were there. Because and then when Christianity started to spread after the time of Yeshua, the areas of Parthia readily embraced it. Why? Because they had gotten good news that they were from the lost tribes of Israel, but that their Messiah had come. He had died for their sins.
Yeah, amen. And
Josephus records that at the time of the first century, everyone knows the great Jewish historian Josephus. He said that he knew exactly where the ten lost tribes were. They were beyond Euphrates, and that was the historical border between the Roman Empire and the Parthian Empire. So when he said they were beyond Euphrates, he was saying they're in Parthia, and then Scythia was farther north. But so Josephus, at the time of Christ, knew exactly where the ten lost tribes were, and they were in Parthia. And then I talk in my presentation about how Parthia fell. They started migrating into Armenia and then up into southern Russia, where the Scythians were, and they were part of this great migration toward the west, toward Europe. And so the reason I go into all that history is so that people can start to realize that what the Bible said, exactly what it said, came to pass in terms of they were mixed among the nations. They became a vast multitude, and they were literally scattered all over the earth. But now in these last days, we're seeing all over the world people waking up and realizing that the Bible says we're to be brought back home. We're to be regathered. And people are waking up and realizing, hey, I want to be part of this. And now, in this great move of God that's coming, there's no one that's going to be checking anyone's DNA or anyone's bloodline to say, okay, do you have the blood of this tribe or that tribe or whatever? There's not going to be any of that. If God's working in your heart, then you can be part of it. It's just like the first Exodus coming out of Egypt. It was a mixed multitude. Yeah, the tribes of Israel came out, but also a huge, massive number of people that were not Israelites originally came with them in this mixed multitude out of Egypt. It's going to be the same thing in this last move of God. Back to the land of Israel, it's going to be a mixed multitude. There's going to be people, yes, that are descended from the ten lost tribes, but there will also be many, many other believers from all over the planet coming back. And you know what? Where God is going to bring us? He's in the book of Hosea, it says God is going to bring the people in the exact place where it said, you are not my people. There it's going to be said, you are my people. You are the sons of the living God. And so God is going to bring his people back to exactly where they were living before. And I go over scripture after scripture on this. He's going to bring them back to the mountains of Ephraim. He's going to bring them back to Samaria. And you know where that is today? It's in the West Bank. It's in the most hotly contested piece of real estate on the entire planet. What God is going to do is going to shock the world. He's going to take people who don't even know who they are from all over the world. They've lost their identity. They're not a nation. They don't even realize who they are. He's going to gather them together. He's going to bring them back to the most hotly contested piece of real estate on the planet, the West Bank, Palestinians are. And we're going to be living there, and we're going to be reunited to Judah and become one stick in the land, and we'll never be divided from them again. And everything that the Bible says is going to happen, and there's going to be so many people involved. The scriptures say there's not going to be room found for everyone because it's going to be wall-to-wall people. And God said there's going to be so much prosperity that the whole world is actually going to tremble. It's used in one of the scriptures that I point out in the presentation. But most people have never heard of this. Most churches never teach about this, even though an enormous amount of material in the Old Testament is about this. So it's so important to educate people about what the Bible actually says.
Okay, just a minute. I'll let you breathe. First off, you said, you know, of course it's all over the Old Testament. And, you know, people are really shocked when they really read it and realize that there's a whole bunch of prophecy there that they're not getting. The New Testament just has basically a summary, so to speak. People want to go to Revelation and say, okay, that's Bible prophecy. Well, that's just a small summary. You know what I mean? It's, you know, kind of like an overview or something. But the point being is, you know, like I was talking, I went to list a piece of real estate the other day, talked to a realtor, and we got to talking, and we talked like 10 minutes about this place for this group. And then we talked for like, I witnessed to him for, well, a Holy Spirit witnessed to him for over an hour and a half at least, minimum. And you know what? One of the things that got me that he said, well, you know, I read the New Testament because it's just so much easier. I just can't get past all of the names that I can't pronounce in the Old Testament. And he said, and that's why I don't read it, you know, over and over. And so that's the way, brother, Michael, with a lot of people is they don't read the Old Testament because they can't get past the words and, you know, but folks, you need to find a group, a Torah observant group in the neighborhood and start sharing that. And if they're not, if the Holy Spirit isn't present, well, you know, you need to find one that is. That's absolute. There has to be all of the gifts of the Spirit. Now, I know some people go to, you know, they'll go to a place that reads the Torah and they study the Torah. But if that's the case and that's all that's going on, don't let that be your only source. You can go there, listen to the Torah being read, but find you a place where the Holy Spirit is present and miracles are present. Michael, what I want to ask you is, what do you think is going to be the catalyst for this sudden migration of people to go back? Is it going to be war, famine? What is it going to be?
Yeah, and that's what I talked about in my first DVD, actually. I talk about all the horrible things that I believe were right on the verge of coming to this planet. I believe the worst times in the history of the United States are coming. Like I said at the top of the show, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And it's not just economic collapse. In this DVD, I talk about things that I've never talked publicly about before. And I talk about how God still speaks. God spoke to Adam in the Garden of Eden. He spoke to prophets all throughout the Old Testament. In the book of Acts, we read about prophets and prophetesses. And then in the book of Revelation, of course, we read about the two witnesses who prophesied for 3.5 years. So God has always spoken, he's speaking now, and he always will speak. And God's speaking to men and women all over the world, men and women who have a track record of being correct. Not everyone who calls himself a prophet is a prophet. You should know that. But there are real prophets, and there are men and women of God all over the world that God has been revealing details about what's coming, not only to the United States, but all over the world. We're entering a time of economic collapse, civil unrest, martial law, war, and great natural disasters. In my DVD, I talk about the tsunami that's coming to the east coast of the United States. And it's going to be as the result of a meteor strike. And so many people have seen this. A great meteor is going to hit in the Atlantic Ocean. A massive tsunami, hundreds of feet tall, is going to sweep over Florida and the east coast of the United States, causing massive death and destruction. I also talk about a great earthquake that's coming to the central part of the United States along the New Madrid fault line. When there is a Palestinian state declared, and the United States is involved in that, when we see a Palestinian state, well, men and women of God all over the world, it's been revealed to them that after that, the judgment of God is going to come. And because we've divided the land of Israel, when that happens, God is going to divide our land. And he's going to divide it right down the middle, right along the New Madrid fault line. It's going to be the worst earthquake any of us have ever seen. And it's actually going to create a new body of water from where the Great Lakes are now all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico. I talk about that in the presentation. We're also going to see an earthquake in California, which changes the geography of this nation. So I talk about all these great judgments that are coming to this nation that are going to be nightmarish, that are going to be horrific. It's going to be the worst time this country has ever seen, and it's going to be the judgment of God. I talk about the war that's coming to the Middle East. I talk about how Israel's going to get back more of their land, that Israel's going to defeat their foes. And I believe after that war in the Middle East, after Israel has recaptured much more of her land. But
are you still there? Did we lose you? I think we lost. I think we lost Michael. Did we lose you, Michael? Well, folks,
oh, no, I'm still here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now for a split second. I couldn't get nothing, but Anyway, amen. So let's talk about the names of DV. We only got about 2 minutes or so anyway, so we'll use this as a going out point. The name of the first DVD is what?
The name of the first DVD is Economic Collapse, World War III, and the Death of America. And that's where I talk about all these prophecies and things that are coming to this nation. And then the second DVD is entitled The Regathering of the Ten Lost Tribes of Israel, where I talk about this great regathering and what the Bible has to say. Now, both DVDs, if you go to the economiccollapseblog.com, or if you go to Google and type in the economic collapse, it's the first result that comes up. If you go to the left-hand column of my website, there's graphics for both DVDs there. You can click on those graphics and go to the place where you can directly order them. And I want people to get this information, to understand it, then contact me, write to me, tell me what you think. I want to hear from you. If God is tugging on your heart, if you feel the tugging of the Holy Spirit, then, you know, that's a real good sign that God wants you to be involved in what's coming here in these last days, this great move of God. And I want to hear from people. I want to hear from the remnant, because what God is about to do in this nation and all over the world, it's going to shock the entire planet.
Yeah. Amen. You know, brother, I honestly believe, and I've been saying it for a while, right now the Father is preparing witnesses. And, you know, all over the country, some people would say, well, they're apostles or they're prophets or whatever. I believe real apostles and prophets and those kind of people that have those gifts aren't out there pushing the name that they're apostle or a prophet or whatever. You know, you'll just know them from the miracles and their actions, and it won't matter what they are called, so to speak. But I believe that they are going to shine, and they're going to be great witness when this calamity comes upon America. Then these witnesses are going to stand up all over the world, and they will be the ones that are doing the leading, and there will be miracles, and amen. It's going to be a glorious time. You think?
Oh, absolutely. And like you said, we're not going to be putting people up on pedestals anymore. The person that's going to be put up on a pedestal is Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He's going
Amen.
Up on a pedestal from now on. And the people, you know, it's not about how much you know, and it's not about what kind of a title you can put in front of your name, but what matters is how much you love. That matters in terms of how mature of a believer you are, how much you love. Let us endeavor to be people of great love.
Yeah, amen. Well, really, brother, we got to go. Give your website one more time, and I'm going to have to say goodbye and shalom.
Okay. Yeah, come to theeconomiccollapseblog.com, or if you go to Google and type in economic collapse, it'll pop up right away, and you can order the DVDs right in the left-hand column. Then, Pastor Dan, once again, thank you so much for having me on.
All right. You be blessed, brother. We'll talk again. Goodbye and shalom. All right, folks, that's theeconomiccollapseblog.com. And if you're listening to radio archives, whatever you're listening to, whatever your link you're looking on, you'll see a link to his radio program. Go to my website. You can find a link for it over there, too. Be on the right-hand side where it says links. I'm going to make an updated link for it tonight. Anyway, folks, you pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. And if you enjoy these radio programs, I pray that you support radio, because it does cost to produce these programs, and it costs for airtime. We're satellite. It also costs for internet. I got to go. You must remember there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach, and he gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, 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 always be a blessing to others. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time from Messiah's Branch.